Black History Month 2017. The fight against racial discrimination is tied to the fight to defeat capitalist austerity. Hugo Peer, Tower Hamlets Socialist Party and Unison National Executive Committee, personal capacity. On the morning of the 10th of October, the Tory government announced it was launching a website to show the widespread racial inequality in Britain. To many, this will seem like a sick Black History Month joke. In preparation for the launch, Communities Minister Sajid Javid was invited onto the BBC's Today programme. Interviewer John Humphreys put to him that the government has known much of this information for a long time, shouldn't you have been doing something about it? Javid's reply was, we've put together this website for wider debate, because the government doesn't have all the answers. In reality, the Tories have no answers. They didn't even commission any new research for the website launch, but just brought together existing statistics from various departmental websites. The reality is this Tory government and the previous Condé coalition government have made matters a lot worse. Their austerity drive has widened the wealth gap and increased levels of poverty. This has had a massive impact on black workers. Black workers make up 14% of the working age population, but only 10% of the workforce. Employment for white workers stands at 75.6%, while for black workers it is 62.8%. A study by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation showed that black workers were disproportionately represented in lower paid jobs and twice as likely to be on temporary contracts as white workers. The old information on the new government website shows that black adults are twice as likely to be unemployed than white adults. Among young people, that figure is even higher. And while right-wing Labour Mayor of London Sadiq Khan continues to claim that London is a welcoming, diverse city, the capital masks high levels of discrimination. Unemployment. The unemployment rate for black Caribbean workers is around 20% in places like Hackney, Kensington, and Chelsea, Lambeth, and Islington, when the national average for white workers is 4.8%. This is 5 times the rate according to a report by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. Local councils that have refused to fight for more funding from the government are no longer equal opportunities employers as some labor authorities fought to be in the 1980s. A survey by the local government trade union Unison through Freedom of Information requests showed a consistent pattern of underrepresentation of black workers in the workforce, overrepresentation in lower paid jobs, and overselection for redundancy in local government. The union's 2017 National Black Members Conference passed a motion that noted high levels of bullying and harassment of black staff, and underrepresentation of black staff in senior positions or on NHS trust boards. Levels of wage inequality are widely reported in many industries, most publicly in the BBC Gender Pay Gap Row over the summer. However, there is undoubtedly a wider race pay gap. Black workers also suffer disproportionately when services are cut. They are often the first to lose their jobs as well as the services provided. The Joseph Rowntree Foundation report suggests one of the part of the solution could be to provide better, more flexible childcare. This at a time when local authorities are cutting back nursery places because they refuse to stand up to funding changes imposed by the government. However, the richest 1,000 people have seen their wealth increase by 100% since 2010, according to the Sunday Times Rich List. Their wealth increased by 14% in 2016-17 alone. It is estimated that the bosses of the UK's biggest 100 companies earn an average of £5.3 million a year, a staggering 386 times the pay of an employee on the government's misnamed National Living Wage. However, black workers are playing a significant role in fighting the austerity agenda that effectively has taken money from the poor to give huge handouts to the rich. The strikes in many public organizations of low-paid, privatized workers have been inspirational. SOS cleaners, LSE cleaners, Barts health workers and numerous others where there are high proportions of black workers show that collective action can fundamentally undermine division and discrimination. Many studies show that where there are collective bargaining arrangements in place, there is often no race pay gap. Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn's Labour election programme for a £10 an hour minimum wage, council house building, renationalisation of the NHS, railways, and energy providers, ending student tuition fees, and a return to collective trade union bargaining for medium to large workplaces, was hugely popular. The anti-austerity platform needs to be put into action, and not just promised for the future. Corbyn is seen as a politician with strong principles among wide sections of the working class, including many black workers. There is still, though, a fear that he will come under enormous pressure from the political establishment not to implement many of the modest demands in his program, if he was elected prime minister. This pressure will undoubtedly come from big business, but would most likely be channeled through the right wing of the party. Movements. The movements that black workers have already started against low pay, no collective bargaining, privatization, and other terms and conditions, could be given a massive boost, if Corbyn urged all Labour councils to begin discussions on meeting these demands. If this was mobilized into a movement, to end the public sector cuts and privatization, black and white workers would organize together to support such measures. As those workers that have started in this direction are already doing, they would see that racism, exploitation, and division are the beginning and the end of this rotten capitalist system. The only answer would be to end the grotesque inequalities and bring the whole economy under workers' control to plan society in the interest of all, not just 1% of the population.